Thank you, Volker. Well, good morning, everyone. On behalf of Cernet and the Samba team, I'd like to welcome everyone to this 13th Samba XP conference. You are here for a reason. That reason probably has a lot to do with Samba, but also has a lot to do with interoperability. And lastly, it has a lot to do with change. If there wasn't any change, why would you need to be here? Fair question? So I hope that you use the opportunity of the next 2 days to learn, to absorb, to take away with you information that will be helpful, so that you can use that information in your daily vocation. I've just used a term here that is out of vogue in the world today. That is vocation. That's your calling. And a man's calling, man or a woman's calling, a person's calling, is what they're uniquely gifted to do. I hope you are all able to work in a capacity that you are uniquely gifted to apply your skills to. That's important because that gives us the highest level of satisfaction in life and in work. But as we look back on Samba, Samba started its existence in the early 1990s. A lot has changed in the industry since the early 1990s. Windows NT, the new technology platform, was released in late 1993. And really did not take much hold in the marketplace until Windows NT 4 was released, and if my memory serves me correctly, that was around 1995-1996. And at that point, interoperability started to become increasingly important. Samba really got onto the roadmap in about 1998. At that point, we started to see a dramatic proliferation in servers, but the mentality of most information-consuming and information-producing and information-processing organizations was focused around a paradigm of a client computer connecting to a server. Not much of that has changed. But the nature of that client, the dominant client, and the nature of the server at the back end of that client has changed dramatically and continues to change. I'd like to share with you just a few statistics. And you know what statistics are?
Organized lies.
Organized lies. So, bring your own data, mobile data, and a virtual desktop interface that is personified by the smartphone and users using tools that were not even conceived of in the late 1990s mean something very dramatic in terms of the number of hours that we work in a year. Are you aware of that little fact? The number of working hours that we exert in processing information has increased by about 240 or more hours per year since the 1990s. That's 240 hours more productive work we might do. Also, data center traffic will increase from where it is today by a factor of 25 before 2015 is over. A 25-fold increase in data flow across data centers. One of the key challenges facing the data center operator is the problem of underutilization of servers. It is anticipated that server utilization will increase to over 80% within the next 2 years. In 2012, two-thirds of the operating cost of a data center was in management. And within the next 3 years, more than 80% of organizations will use cloud infrastructures. I want to ask you a question. I want you to ask yourselves a question. What does all of this mean? The only obvious answer is a lot of change. So, cloud computing is driving a change, or is driven by a change of service-oriented architectures targeted at reducing cost of operating a data center, reducing the cost of individual services, and improving performance. And those things kind of seem at odds with each other. But at the same time, data centers are driving for increased agility. Increased agility means the ability to handle substantial fluctuations in load and substantial changes in the need for services in the data center, all of which add up to increased productivity. The mechanism by which these are being driven into existence is through virtualization. How many of you have heard of software-defined networking? Software-defined compute? Software-defined storage? I see hands up. These terms you are going to hear a lot more of. The European Telecommunications Standards Institute has driven an initiative called Network Function Virtualization. How many of you are aware of Network Function Virtualization? I see far fewer hands up. I would suggest strongly that you become more familiar with those standards. They are published by ETSI. You will hear a lot more in the next few years about those terms, and they are going to impact the types and applications of servers that will be used globally across data centers. But there's another change that's happening. Companies are becoming increasingly aware of the cost of their data center infrastructures and are putting a downward pressure on their willingness to release capital to expand data center activities. That downward pressure is driving a negative inertia to capital asset release for data center expenditure. And yet at the same time, we are seeing, as the statistics I just mentioned to you indicate, an upward requirement for mobility of services in the data center. In other words, more service and less capital available to fund that service. Do you understand what this means? There's only one direction that today's corporations, businesses, and organizations can go in, and that is moving prior capital expenditure into operational expenditure. That is an increased demand for data center facilities charged on a per usage basis. So as the demand for services and the type of applications that drive those services shifts, what we are seeing is many of the traditional servers that used to be infrastructured on physical hardware are now being brought up on demand in a virtualized environment, and as soon as the demand is gone, they're annihilated. So servers are no longer as persistent as they used to be. This is having a profound impact on the very types of services that Samba provides. I hope you can all identify with some of the trends and some of these points that I'm trying to bring to your attention here. So as the need for persistent servers shifts, I did not say disappears, it shifts. It shifts to behind the service layer to somewhere else in the data center, somewhere where it's not highly visible. The less visible those persistent services are, the more challenging it becomes for the people in this room to convince their management, for you, each one of you, to convince your management that the skills and abilities you bring to bear are truly important to the organization. If you become less visible in the services you provide, it becomes more important that you continually reinforce to your employers or to your customers the value that you contribute to their business. Am I making sense to everyone here? Let me put this in different terms. Please give me a show of hands if you are a technician. Okay, hands down. Give me a show of hands if you are a technical expert in your place of employ. Okay, hands down, everyone. Hands up, all of those who are good salesmen. I don't see any hands. I see one or two. Your employers do not employ you to fix today's problems. Let me repeat that. The people who hire your services do not hire you to fix today's problem. They hire you because they seek a level of confidence that you are able to solve the problem that they will have when? Tomorrow or the day beyond. Because today's problem was created yesterday. And if we can't solve today's problem, there'll be no tomorrow. But your employers, the companies that hire your services, are looking for some form of continual assurance that you can solve not only tomorrow's problem, but the problem beyond. And I'm going to put it to you that you are here today to tool up your skill set and your knowledge to be able to solve tomorrow's problem, because whatever today's problem is, you're here and you're not fixing that today. Is that a fair comment again? So the future, I'm going to put it to you, is very important to every one of us. The future is important to every one of us. If there is no future, there's no sense being here. Can you all hear me in the back there? I said if there was no future, there'd be no sense being here. So you are making an investment in being here in the future, for the future. And when you get back to your place of work or to wherever you are engaged, you need to be able to convince the people who sent you but they made a great investment in operational expenditure. Are we okay so far? Are we still on the same page? This conference is important to you. For exactly the same reason, every one of us needs to be able to paint a clear picture of what the future holds. And for that reason, it's important to know what's on the roadmap ahead. Would you like a translation of that? If there is no roadmap, we are drifting aimlessly, with nothing more than wishful thinking to guide us. And that's a recipe for being hidden behind where the real action happens. That's a recipe for getting lost in the machine called business. So please, please, work hard at your personal roadmap, at helping to establish the roadmap for technological advancement in the place where you are working. And for all of you who contribute to Samba, work extremely hard at the roadmap for the development and the future of Samba. Because in the absence of a future, there's no sense being in the present. Did everyone get that message? Loud and clear. We need a roadmap. I hope that you enjoy today and tomorrow, and that the value that you get out of this conference will carry with you a long way ahead. But please, please also provide feedback to the Samba team of what's important for you, what's missing from Samba that you desperately need. Now, if you need something, if you say you want a set of black wheels on Samba or a set of red flags on Samba, that's great. I like Samba. I would like it. And Jeremy Ellison would like Samba to have black wheels and four red flags, right, Jeremy? Yeah. However, someone's going to have to do that work. And if all of the engineers who are involved in Samba are already very busy, then that leaves a question hanging. And that question is, who's going to create the black wheels and bolt them onto Samba? And who's going to put those four lovely red flags and the fins on Samba? How is that going to be funded? What I'm alluding to here is it's all good and well to create a roadmap, but that roadmap does nothing and achieves nothing unless we also identify how big is the gap between the resources available and the resources required to close that roadmap requirement. So how do we get those resources into place? Who's going to fund that work? Who's going to provide the skill sets necessary? I want you to consider that very carefully, because Samba is an open source software project. And open source software projects somehow get funded with resources that are contributed for any number of reasons. So Samba's community, its overall community, consists of end users and corporate environment partners. And those partners set their goals and objectives based on what real-world users and consumers say are important to them. It helps the Samba team to know what's important to you, because we can put that into the roadmap with a justification that says we need the following functionality because our customers are asking for it. And that way, when we go to a corporate sponsor and say, "We would, you see this as important, we have feedback that it's important, we know that you can attach a revenue value to it, how much of that revenue are you prepared to reinvest in order to turn that revenue into reality?" So you see, the ecosystem of the open source world is a most interesting dynamic. But it only works so long as there is a future. If there is no future, there's no sense being in the present. Please take this opportunity of these 2 days of this 13th Samba XP conference to absorb as much as you can. The Samba team members who are here have a diverse set of skills. Each one of them makes a valuable contribution to the future and to the present of Samba. Suck their brains dry. It doesn't matter if their brains shrivel. We can rehydrate them at night. And enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves immensely here. Thank you for your time and enjoy the conference.